We want to introduce Thomas to you again. He came to us last April, and he is here to give us a welcome. Thank you. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to see you all. I can share with you that this morning I turned 40.
Say to you.
I've always wanted to be serenaded by a room full of women. So this is great. So this morning, my children, my two little girls, woke me up and said, "You're old." And my wife, who is here, said, "I bet it feels great to be married to a younger woman," and it does. So I'm so excited for Lamplighters to get started again. God is doing some really special things at Covenant right now. And it's an honor to be a part of it, and it's so wonderful to see us hitting a normal rhythm. And I know my wife Beth and I are just grateful that God has so clearly called us to be a part of what He's doing here at Covenant Press. So thank you, and thank you for how you all are leaders here at our church, but also in the city, for people coming together and being molded and shaped by the Word and doing that together. And it's an inspiration to me and to many, many people here at Covenant. So thank you for that. And you have a very gifted and wonderful Welsh woman that is here today, and who I love dearly. And I'm glad she's here. Last time I was here, she hadn't moved here yet. So anyway, I hope it's a great start to everything that you all are doing. So
I'm back. Okay, thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Beth. Welcome. And I don't have my clicker. That was the other technological problem for this morning. Announcements. Welcome home. I'm so excited that y'all are all here today. Thank you for being here. We're excited about our new study, The Prescription for Life, the Gospel of Luke. It's going to be fabulous. And I love to see all these familiar faces, and I love all the new faces that I see, so thank you for being here. I want to introduce myself. I am Julianne Hartman. I've been in Lamplighters probably for, oh my goodness, almost 19 years. I started when my oldest was 6 months old, and he's off at college for the first time, and I miss him. But anyway, and so I've been here for a long time, and this has been such a blessing to me in my life. It's been my stable and constant way to be in the Word, and I just am very happy to be here. I want to introduce the ladies at the back, Lynn Adams. She is going to be part of the teaching team this year, and she will be sharing this morning's duties with me. Shannon, our wonderful person that makes all the things work when they don't, and we love her, and she is our administrator. We also have several other teaching team people out there. If you could raise your hand, teaching team people that are in the audience, please. There's a few of you I know, so thank you very much. But the big question, there's someone missing? Oh, wait. Yes. Jan has not left us. She is somewhere in the world. It was like, where's Waldo? She is in Ireland spending time with Harold and having a wonderful vacation. She will be back with us in a couple of weeks. I'm not really sure exactly when she comes back, but it's going to be sooner than later, and it'll be here before we know it. So she is also our wonderful, fearless leader, and we will make it through the next couple of weeks without her, right? But the nuts and bolts of this ministry are in our lay leaders that really are the people that take care of each one of you every week. And those are our small group leaders. And so if you're a small group leader, could you please stand and just take the praise of thanking you for being part of this wonderful ministry. So we have some housekeeping items to take care of. If you have not registered yet, if you could please see Shannon in the back to make sure you're registered so that we can place you into small groups in the next couple of days. If you need a name tag, these beautiful name tags that everyone is wearing, if you need one, there is a sign-up sheet in outside these doors on the table outside. If you could please make sure that you put your name on there and print legibly so we can make sure we spell your name properly on your name tag. Schedules and binder covers. So the two items that were also on the table outside, if you could hold one of them up, or a leader at each table, just to see if you don't have it yet. They're outside. It's a schedule and the binder cover. We have printed them for everyone to make sure that you pick those up today. It gives you the schedule for the year, and it gives you a pretty cool-looking binder cover that I think is so much fun. Okay, small groups. We will not be meeting in small groups today. In fact, Lynn and Shannon and I have a job after we dismiss this afternoon. 30 new women are going to be placed in small groups today, and that's just exciting. And so that's why we haven't given you your small groups, because putting 30 people in at the last second would somewhat be difficult. So we will be finishing up the small group placements, and then we will be getting those to our small group leaders as soon as we can. So by the end of the weekend, you should hear from your small group leader, okay? So you will definitely know who your small group leader is before the weekend. You will have communication from your small group leader, and then you will be able to know your room assignment, because I think that will be part of the information they will be sharing with you to have for next Wednesday. So now, parking, our favorite topic. Okay, our parking lot is small, and we have lots of wonderful people that want to do lots of wonderful ministries at Covenant. So what I'm asking y'all to do is be patient and understand our parameters that we have for parking. They have asked us to not park in the preschool parking, which is the half of the parking lot closest to the cemetery and away from Northland Drive. The timing for the preschoolers, it's very hard for those moms that have little ones to get up all the way up to the top floor of the building, and so they've asked for us not to park there to help provide that ministry to the young moms that are trying to drop kids off and pick kids up. Also, if you can carpool, that would be great. And so if you could be thinking about that, if you know that your neighbor down the street is coming to Lamplighters, it would be fabulous, and it might free up a parking spot. We will also be having the circle drive open for the moms that have young children and carriers and strollers. That will be blocked off for everyone else, and we'll have the same kind of procedure that we've done the last few years, that if you're a young mom, you will come in and be able to park in those close spots, and that's we're trying to love on you, young moms, and are so glad that you are here, and so we want to minister to you in that way. Am I good on parking? Anything else? Handicapped. If you're handicapped and have a handicapped license plate or tag, then the best place to handicap park is behind this building, because then you have no steps and it's a much shorter walk for you. So instead of parking in the circle, there are a couple handicapped spots in the circle which will still be honored as handicapped parking. But it really will save you time, energy, and everything if you would come and park your handicap spot in the back. Is that good? Okay. Little lambs. We have not had little lambs in the last couple of years, and Jen Koss this spring had come up to Jan and said, I think ready to have Little Lambs again. So we are having a Little Lambs program, and Jen just got a co-leader in Deborah Robertson just a few weeks ago, and she's thrilled. They're excited, and so we have a new Little Lambs program for the study of Luke. If you have someone, a grandbaby, that wants to be part of the Little Lamb program, or you have a little one that is not signed up for the Little Lambs program, they're asking for the little lamb to be 3 years old or 4 years old, and they will not be part of the regular child care, but they will be doing the lessons that we are doing in Luke, and they will be accompanying us in our study of Luke, and they will be taken care of by two wonderful women, Jen and Deborah. If you have any questions about the Little Lambs program, you can see Jen Cost, or you can talk to Shannon in the back afterwards, and she will be able to help you get registered or be able to lead you in the right direction with anything that you need. Okay. The last few announcements for this week are the fact that our first lesson will be next week. The first lesson is Luke 1, 1 through 56. Oh, wait, 56? That's a lot of verses. Okay, yes, you're going to find that Luke, in our inductive study, we are going to have a lot of verses every week. Luke is the longest gospel of the Gospels, and so our lessons are longer in length. They are usually familiar stories, and so you're going to have familiar stories to you, but they're going to be longer inductive lessons. I would really encourage you, and I think I'm going to say this probably a couple more times today, to read it out loud. The blessing that it can give you is fabulous, so you're going to need to get started on your lessons earlier, hopefully, than Tuesday evening after you put the kids down or you've cleaned up the dishes, because the lessons are longer. If you need the lessons printed, where do I find them? I'm new. I don't know where to go. They are on our website. It's lamplightersbiblestudy.com. Make sure you get the Bible study in there, because if you go to Lamplighters, I think it's a tavern somewhere in England. But we are a Bible study, and so that's in our name for the website. And so if you could go to that website, and you will find a drop-down menu that says the study of Luke, and you will click on that, and it'll provide for you all of the lessons, and you can print them out at your own computer. But what if I don't have a computer or a printer at home? Well, some of us don't, and that is okay. We are here to serve you if that's the case. And if you do not have a printer or you do not have a computer that you have access to, please come see one of us in the back. Shannon will get you hooked up, and we will make sure that you have your lessons printed, and we will serve you in that way. If you do have access to a computer and you do have access to the printer for the computer, please go ahead and print them on your own. It saves us a lot for you to be able to do that. I think that is it. So the prescription for Luke. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Now that we've got our housekeeping items behind us, the remaining part of our morning today will be split between an overview of Luke, and then we're going to do a hands-on inductive lesson. Our schedule, I know we all came here at 10, so that's different. We feel maybe a little more awake. The coffee's kicked in, maybe. So from 10 to 11 or 10:45, typically on a regular Wednesday, not today, we'll be in here all this morning. On a typical Wednesday, we will spend our time opening with a song. We will have a quick prayer. We'll have announcements. We'll have the lecture. And then you will be dismissed to your small group by about 10:45. And then you will have the same amount of time in your small group, and we'll be dismissing just before noon. And so that's our 2-hour window has not changed. We've just shifted due to MOPAC traffic and many other different reasons. So welcome. So today I'm going to do the overview of Luke, And then Lynn's going to come up and do our hands-on inductive review for those of us that have not ever done a study inductively. We're going to give you some tips on how to do that. And for those that you have done inductive, you get the benefit of starting your lesson early because we're going to do the first section of next week's lesson. So Thomas, who we just got to see, our pastor for Covenant, for those of you that are not from Covenant, has challenged our congregation. I think you probably have seen the boat and the oars on the way up to get out of the boat this fall. And we're supposed to, as he said last week, to swing our legs over the edge and climb out to be water walkers. Well, your presence here today is really a step in that direction because we're actually stepping out of the boat as we begin to study and continue to study the Bible, and we're going to be studying Luke. And it is going to be a fabulous study. It is an amazing book, and I can't wait to get y'all to dig into this book. I've spent a lot of time thinking about today and our study for Luke. Jan mentioned that she was going to be in Ireland, I think in April, and told me, Julianne, you're the one that's going to do the overview. I'm like, I really am? What? No. And so here I am. So I have had time to think about it all summer. And I love the title of our study this year, Prescription for Life. So I kind of thought about that all summer. Prescriptions and what that meant and what that, and it floated around in my head. What does a prescription mean? Well, they can heal you from sicknesses. They can sometimes prevent a sickness or an illness, and they can even help you maintain your health. Okay, well, on the other hand, sometimes prescriptions can be abused, or they can be administered incorrectly, or they don't work, or you can have allergic reaction to them. Well, but however, most of the time when I think of prescriptions, I think that they're temporary. They're not really meant to maybe last a lifetime. And so that prompted me to tell a story. This summer, I was in the doctor's office with one of my sons for his well check. It was the middle of July. And as part of our discussion, our pediatrician talked to my son about a prescription that he was taking. You see, this son was diagnosed a long time ago with ADHD, and he has compensated very well in the classroom. He is a very bright young man. He does very well in school. And so we've never gone down the route of taking medicine. This past spring, however, when junior year hits and you're in the middle of very complex studies, we decided, and he had some other issues going on physically, that he was having a very difficult time with his focus, and his compensation skills were not working as well as they'd been in the past. So for many different reasons, we decided to try out some medicine. So he was given a prescription, and it was working, and he wanted some feedback from the pediatrician, and he wanted to talk to him about whether he was going to continue that prescription in the fall. And as my doctor talked to my son, the insight on this topic was so helpful. He sat there and he explained that this was temporary. He said, a time in your life when you have to adjust to a certain type of environment. Your school structure, you're not in control of. And you have a certain framework of time and restrictions on your choices. So he told him this wasn't going to be forever. Instead, it's temporary. The medicine's going to help him get through this phase in life and hopefully help him learn how he learns best and help him discover his real true strengths and passions. My favorite takeaway from the conversation was when the doctor said, one day when you're older and you've chosen your adult profession, that this prescription would be a thing of the past. He said, because this is what he quoted to Samuel. You should not need to take the stimulant to be able to do the job you choose one day. This prescription is to help you get through this time in your life when you're not in control of how and what you study and the restraints that it brings. If you need the medicine, this prescription, to do your real job one day, then you've chosen the wrong profession. Those words resonated with me. And the look on my son's face was one of relief. He could see hope because he was getting help to get through something, knowing that it was going to aid him for what's planned in the future. And he was going to do it, and he was going to be successful. He could do it. It really was amazing. Slide. You see, my son's ADHD prescription is only temporary, yet it's so very helpful. Just imagine, though, our prescription for life. Our prescription for life is going to be helping us the whole way through. So as we begin our journey into Luke, Dr. Luke's prescription is more than that. He is prescribing one for life, and I believe that Luke's prescription is going to grab hold of us this year and pull us through to a stronger relationship with our Lord and Savior while instructing us on how to live with one another in community. Are we ready and willing to sign on and take this prescription for life? Today, and first I'm going to explain to y'all this overview and where, when, why, how of Luke, and then I'm going to provide you an outline of all of Luke so that we can understand the big picture before you dive into chapter 1 of next week. So let's look at our basic reporter questions in Luke. So the question, first one that you ask is who? So who wrote, who is the author of Luke? And it is Dr. Luke. Luke is actually the largest contributor to the New Testament, with more verses written by Luke than even Paul. And he is both the author of Luke and of Acts. Luke is a Gentile by birth, and he is the only Gentile author of the New Testament. The only one that was not a Jew that wrote in the New Testament. He is very well educated in the Greek culture, and he is a physician by trade. If you wanted to know the reference for that, Paul refers to him in Colossians 4:14 as being a physician. He is a companion and a very loyal friend to Paul. He is a historian. Luke was not an eyewitness to Jesus' life. Yet he was such a historian, and he was so excited about the gospel that he spent a lot of time interviewing and talking to as many primary sources as he possibly could to get to know them, to understand them, to hear what they saw, feel how they felt. And he collected all of that in his research to write Luke. So we're going to find all those firsthand accounts told through Luke, and it's sprinkled throughout the gospel. The what? What is Luke? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke is the story of Jesus and of Jesus' ministry. Luke did research and investigate thoroughly, and he wants to tell the story of Jesus from start to finish. He bases his story on themes from Jesus' journey from heaven to earth through Galilee towards Jerusalem, and he ends with his ministry in Jerusalem. He outlines Jesus' teaching in ways that the other Gospels do not. So where and when? It was Luke was probably written around 60 AD and was probably written from Rome. There, of course, no one ever agrees on anything, but that was the consensus of most of the commentators, is that it was written around 60 AD, and they think in Rome because That was probably where Luke was with Paul, possibly, and the person that he is writing to, which is the to whom, is Theophilus, and he was associated with Rome. So they're thinking that it was written in Rome. So that gets us to whom. Theophilus' name means the one who, or he is called the one who loves God. He was a Roman official of high position and wealth, and we know this because of his title. He was a Gentile. So the scholars are not sure where Theophilus lived, so we don't know the destination of where the book of Luke went to first, but we know that it went to Theophilus. With that being said, we also know that Luke structured his gospel in such a way that he knew that Theophilus was not going to be the only reader. So he wrote it to Theophilus, but he knew it was going to serve a broader audience as well. So why did he write Luke? Luke wanted to strengthen the faith of all believers, particularly Theophilus, and he wanted to answer questions on the attacks of unbelievers. He wants to show his purpose of the place of a Gentile Christian in God's kingdom. And he does that, and he wants to base that on the fact of all of Jesus' teachings point to that. Okay, this gospel is about God's plan, and as Luke wrote Luke and Acts, he kind of wrote it as a sequel. It's really a two-part series, even though John's in the middle of it. It really was intended as a two-part series, and it was the gospel is about who Jesus was, what he did, why he came, and how he prepared his disciples for their role in this plan. And then in Acts, he continues the story. Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, sorry. Little things in life that make you happy, little clickers. Hopefully I'll figure out how to work it now. Okay, distraction. Okay, so, and then he wrote Acts as he continues the story of God's plan in the early church, and he develops the story of the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. So Luke actually sets the stage for Acts. And so they're really combined almost. Luke makes it clear in his gospel how we come to know God, and it's through Jesus. As sinners, we must turn to God for help, and Jesus reveals the way to do that, and Luke points to that often. His goal is to make our place in God's plan clear. He invites us to see how we can have a relationship with God that is a journey of faith. So Jesus is the center of every step of every activity in God's plan in the Gospel of Luke. Luke shows how Jesus walked every step of his life on earth with God. He was always in rhythm with his Father in his ministry on earth. He was never out of rhythm. Jesus, the Son of Man, and that's what you're going to find that Luke refers to Jesus as mostly in his gospel, is the Son of Man, models this for us on how to walk with God. And we, the ones that are still in the boat trying to swing our legs over the edge, need his guidance. Luke tells us through his gospel what kind of people Jesus wants his followers to be and what kind of community he wants those followers to be a part of. There's a lot there. It's a long gospel, and it's going to be awesome. So how does Luke, come on. There we go. How does Luke manage to accomplish all those things in his gospel? Luke is a very skilled writer. I'm so happy to be reading Luke, and I can understand him more so than the words of Paul. Although Paul is fabulous in his own right, Luke manages to use several techniques and strategies to get his message across to his reader. My guess, and this is off the record, of course, that he wasn't quite satisfied with the writing of Mark because it was too wordy or too incomplete for his liking, and Mark was written before Luke. But that's just my guess because Luke is such a good wordsmith. He removes the redundancies, he smooths out the awkward wording, and he uses really good word choice to keep our attention, to name just a couple of his techniques. Luke chooses to tell his story as a narrative rather than an epistle. And so that's an important thing to think about as we study it, because he's telling it through story. He also uses other literary techniques throughout the gospel to present his message, such as he uses travelogues talking about where people travel to and from. He has farewell speeches in it. He uses a lot of speeches in it. He has wonder stories. He loves miracles and appearances of angels, stories within stories. We will see that technique used. Luke also uses the power of repetition and recurring themes that he begins in Luke, and he references them throughout and all the way through Acts. And basically, Luke is a masterful writer, and he accomplished his goal of telling the story of Jesus to Theophilus. It was such a masterful piece. He's the only Gentile book in the canon that was written for the New Testament, and it is along two other narratives of Jesus, Matthew and Mark, which are the other two synoptic gospels. So Luke is one of the synoptic gospels, which means to view together. Okay, so it's the third book. But Luke is special, and I want to share with you some parts that make Luke different from the other two synoptic gospels. So, first, as I've mentioned already a couple of times, Luke is tied with Acts. Second, Luke was a gospel written for the Gentiles. Luke wanted to make sure that anyone that was reading this book could understand it. And so it is very special in that way. Luke is a gospel for women. Remember, the historical context in Palestine at the time, women had a low status. They were not referred to often. They were a lower status than men. But Luke gives them a very special place in his narrative. Women are included, they're referred to, they play an important role, and I think that you will see that as we continue our study of Luke, even beginning with the fact that he begins the birth story with Mary. Okay? Luke is a gospel of praise and joy. Again, his word choice and his emphasis on how he tells the story, it just oozes of praise. Pay attention to that. Pick up on that. It is so awesome. Getting ahead for next week, I read our lesson out loud last week, and the joy in that first chapter of Luke just shouts at you. And so, again, that's my plug. Read it out loud because it's really awesome, okay? But praise and joy emanates throughout the gospel. Luke is also a gospel of prayer. Before every great moment that happens in Jesus' life as he tells the story, Luke shows Jesus in prayer. Every single time. And so prayer is important to Luke. Prayer is shown throughout the gospel, and we see Jesus praying a lot. Luke also emphasizes the Holy Spirit. in his gospel. He mentions the Holy Spirit's presence repeatedly throughout the Gospel of Luke in preparation for Acts, when we actually, he tells the story of the Holy Spirit coming down again. Okay, so, and then, and finally, the Gospel of Luke is a universal gospel. What do I mean by that? Okay, all barriers are broken down in Luke. Jesus is for all people, and Luke wants everyone to know it's for all Jews, and the gospel is for all Gentiles alike. The kingdom shuts out no one. Okay? And Luke shows interest also in the people that others didn't pay attention to. He shows interest in the people that are poor. He shows interest in the downtrodden. He shows Jesus as a friend to the outcasts and the sinners. Luke intentionally shows that there's no limit on God's love to all people. It's so important. Are y'all getting excited yet? I hope so. Okay. Are we ready to jump out of the boat yet? We ready to walk on the water? Come on. Okay, so now the big picture in Luke. I'm going to close today with the big picture outline. Sometimes before we get down into our inductive and are looking into the small sections, it's nice to have that kind of 30,000 foot view of Luke so that you can kind of in your mind see where the author's going and why is he traveling that way. All of these slides are on the website if you don't want to write them down. So you can find, well, they will be on the website eventually, but so you can find them there. Don't feel like you have to write all that down. So I'd mentioned earlier in the what of Luke that Luke is telling the story of Jesus as a journey. And so Luke is our Lord's journey as the Son of Man. Again, I'm going to say Son of Man because that's how Luke always talks about Jesus. And so with the help of Warren Wiersbe, the Gospel of Luke is split up like this. The beginning is the preface. It's just those first four verses. He's given an introduction to his gospel. Okay. After that, we have Luke 1:5 through 4:13, and that's the journey from heaven to earth. It includes the birth announcements, Jesus as a baby, his childhood, a young Jesus. We see Jesus as a teenager in Luke, and it takes us through Luke's baptism and Jesus's baptism and temptation. God's plans being executed through the birth of Jesus, and Luke reminds us and shows us in this first section how God just keeps his promises. There are some stories in this first part of God keeping his promises to some very special people, and it's very cool. The third section is from Luke 4:14 to 9:17. And that's Jesus' journey through Galilee. This section, it highlights the activity and the power of Jesus. He is teaching in this section. He's beginning his ministry. He's preaching. He's teaching. He's gathering followers. And it's here also in his journey through Galilee that Luke gives us kind of a heads up of, oh, there might be some Jewish opposition to this man that's preaching and teaching in Galilee. So Luke begins to develop that conflict in that section. The fourth section is the journey to Jerusalem. It begins in Luke 9 and takes us through Luke 19. And it's really a turning point in Jesus' ministry in Luke where Peter answers the question of, who do you say that I am? In 9:20, and he answers that Jesus is the Christ. From this point forward in Luke, we begin that journey to Jerusalem. Luke focuses on Jesus training his disciples at this point and preparing them for the life that they will have after he's gone. So this section, the journey to Jerusalem, he's working with those disciples. He's teaching them. He's telling them things that they need to know after he's gone. So many parables are found in this part of Luke. In fact, Luke has the most parables that are found in the New Testament. There's 28 parables. That's fabulous. I love parables because I love those stories. Okay, so it illustrates in this section a bulk of Jesus' teachings to the disciples. He's developing also, remember that opposition that was beginning to form with the Jewish leaders. Luke also, during this section, develops how that opposition is growing and eventually leads to the Jewish leaders calling for Jesus' death. So he develops that through the section of the journey to Jerusalem. The final section is Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. It begins in chapter 19, verse 28, with Jesus' triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. And it takes the reader through the events of Jesus' last week before his death, through his resurrection and his ascension. Jesus is God's word coming to fulfillment in this section. As the NIV commentary put it so well, Jesus is the promised one of God who brings forgiveness of sins and represents the inauguration of the completion of God's plan. We have a lot to cover in the next several months, and I'm looking forward to the ride with you. So bring on Dr. Luke and our prescription for life. So in closing, why really Luke for lamplighters? We know the why that Luke wrote it, but why us? Why now? So our key verse for this year's study is, for the Son of Man, he came to seek and to save the sinners and the lost. Think of our prescription as a group to be the kind of followers that Jesus calls us to be and to live in community with one another. Personalize it, ladies. Make it yours. Make it your prescription as you walk through the study and find it on your own. So I encourage you all to get out of the boat and let's be water walkers together as we study Luke. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we praise you. We are so blessed to be able to have a study, to be able to study your word together in this place that we call Lamplighters. Thank you for blessing our time together. I ask you to bless this year's study of Luke and ask you to touch each lady in a very, very special way. Let each woman here find her prescription for life as she studies your word found in the book of Luke. Amen. I am now going to have Lynn come up here and let you start on your homework for next week. She will be doing the inductive review as you complete part of the first division. Thank you. There you go. Click.
I can't ever figure this out, so I'm just going to hold it for now. Okay, first of all, I am so excited to be here. I couldn't sleep this morning for various reasons, and I'll tell you right now, we are on Jan's mind, and she is praying for us, because at 1 o'clock this morning, I got a text from her saying, "You're on my mind first thing this morning. I'm praying for you all." I think, there's a six-hour time change, and I think she was, like, backwards in it. So anyway, it was good to have that wake up in the middle of the night knowing someone was praying about us that early. But I had trouble sleeping because I'm like a little kid sometimes. I get excited and I can't sleep. And so when I was showering this morning, I was thinking, this reminds me of vacation. So like last April, I was kind of ready for vacation, right? We had a nice full year of Lamplighters, but I was ready for a little break. And so then the summer went along. Does that work? Can you hear me? Okay. Summer went along, and, I did my summertime stuff. And then we started working on getting Lamplighters going again, and I started getting excited. And then it got to be like, I don't know about you all, but when I go on vacation, it doesn't really matter how great the place is. I'm having a great time, but after a certain amount of time, I kind of want to be home. I kind of want to have my own bed and my own routine. And I thought, that's what I feel like when I come back to Lamplighters at this time of the year. I feel like I'm coming back home. And it just feels comfortable. And I come in here and I'm just like, it's my own bed. It's my own family. I look out and I see all these people that I haven't seen. And I can tell a lot of you all feel the same way because I watched you walk in here this morning. And just the excitement on your faces and, oh, I haven't seen you and I'm so happy to see you. So anyway, I'm glad y'all feel that way. And the people who are new, what I hope is that in a very short amount of time, and certainly by the time we finish, that you will feel like you're coming home too when you come into this Bible study. So what do we do at Lamplighter? We do an inductive Bible study. So why do we do this? Well, the main reason we do this is because we want you anytime, anywhere, to be able to pick up your Bible, open it up, read a passage, and on your own figure out what that passage is telling you. It's great to have. There are so many wonderful Bible studies out there, and there's great commentary. But what happens if you're someplace where you don't have that? And it's also a challenge to not rely on commentaries or other, books that take you through step by step. There's a time and a place for everything. And for Lamplighters, we decided it's the time and the place for inductive Bible study. So let's talk about preparation. The first thing is to find a place that's quiet where you can do your study with no distractions. And this may be one of the biggest challenges about sitting down to do your Bible study because it's hard to find, in this busy world, it's hard to find that distraction. But I can promise you, if you turn your phone off and make sure, if you can do it when nobody else is around or just go to a quiet place, you'll get a lot more out of it. Pray. Now, this doesn't seem like something I should have to say, but I can tell you from my own experience, when I sit down, sometimes I'm like, oh, I need to work on that. And I'll go sit down and I'll just kind of dive into it. And it just doesn't go right for me. It's not smooth. I don't feel like I'm getting what I need to get out of it. And it's because I haven't set my heart to be open and hear what the book is saying to me. So, having said that, let's open with prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being able to come into this room with these women and study your word. Please let us all sit here and take a nice deep breath and calm down and leave all the distractions behind us. Let us open our hearts and our minds to see what it is that you want us to learn today in these first few verses of Luke. I ask this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, so you have your Bibles, hopefully, and if not, I put some little pieces of paper out there that have the first four verses on. So when you're at home,
you're not going to do four verses at a time. You're going to take a little bit bigger chunk than that. But don't take more than about 20 verses, even on some of these really long ones, because what will happen is you'll get too bogged down. Well, that happens to me. You might be able to do it all at once, but I can't. It's easier for me to break it down, because that way you can get a little section and then do that and then maybe come back another day and do another section. Okay, so what are we supposed to do when we read this? Read it out loud. So let's start. Can you put it up on the slide, Julianne? Okay, y'all ready? We're going to read it out loud. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now, what I want to say about Luke, Julianne addressed this very well. This is a gospel that we're all going to be really familiar with. And that's a good thing. Well, not all of us. And I want to talk about that a little bit, too. Some of you in here may be new to Bible study, and you may not know anything about Luke. And I will tell you that it may seem a little bit scary in the beginning, but you will be one of the best gifts to your small group coming in with fresh eyes, especially for some of us who have known these stories for a long time. When my husband and I first got married, he shortly after came to the Lord. And one of the greatest things for me was to sit down with him when he was doing some kind of Bible study, because he would read something, and to him it was brand new. He'd never heard it before. And I had heard it so many times, I could practically recite over the words he was saying. But in his I don't know what you would call it, innocence, or his new focus on it, he would come up with things that would just astound me, because I had been hearing it for so long that I wasn't even looking for anything new. So if you're new to this, please don't be intimidated. Just say what comes to you, because that's the Holy Spirit putting that on your heart. And I promise you, the women in your group will be blessed by it. And then if you do know it, some of these stories are extremely familiar. Back off of it for a minute and then pray to see it with new eyes, and then pray it out loud at least once, if not more than once, to look for those little nuggets. It can be just a little word or a part of a phrase that you sort of accidentally changed on your own because you thought it was a certain way, that might give you a better look into that verse. So what's the first thing? The first thing is observation. Observation is just the factual stuff that you see. Listen to it. What does it feel like? Go through and just engage your senses. Ask the who, what, when, where, how, why. And what jumps out at you? Just start, however it is that you study, if you write it down, if you circle it, if you highlight it, whatever it is, those are the first things that you notice when you read those verses. So what we're going to do is, we're going to do this right now with these first four verses. So I'm going to give you all about 5 minutes or so, and just, you know, talk amongst yourself and see what comes up with observations. And then we'll throw it out loud in a second before we move on to the next step.